Luke chapter 13 verses 1 through 5. Luke 13 verses 1 through 5. This is the reading of God's word. Now on the same occasion, there were some present who reported to him about Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. And Jesus said to them, "Do you suppose that these Galileans were greater sinners than all other Galileans because they suffer this fate? I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or do you suppose that these 18 on whom the tower of Siloam fell and killed them were worse culprits than all the men who live in Jerusalem? I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. Grant us an ear to hear your word that we may truly hear, so that our faith will grow and will be more like your Son, Jesus Christ. Oh Father, through your word, let us see what our Lord Jesus Christ has done and what he has accomplished for us. And through your word, let us have that sweet fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray that Jesus Christ will be exalted, that you would pour out your blessings, that your word will be preached correctly, and all of us not only hear your word, but we will understand and also believe, and also obey your word to bring glory to you. Receive all the glory. We pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Like I keep telling you every time I begin sermon on the book of Luke, our God, through the book of Luke, witnesses to us how Jesus Christ, our Lord, is accomplishing the kingdom of God. He witnesses the reality of the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus is warning us that we must analyze the present time very well. We must know what has happened in Jesus Christ and what is really happening now. So many people are so blind to what God has done and what God is doing. Now is time to settle, like chapter 12 showed us, before you are standing before the judge. Otherwise, you will never get out of the prison, Jesus says. In other words, it is time to repent. Time to repent of our sins and believe in Jesus Christ. Why? Because the kingdom of God has come. The end has already come. There is no time to delay any longer. And our passage for today, Luke chapter 13, verse 1 through 5, and the passage for the next time, Luke chapter 13, verse 6 through 9, Jesus is teaching the same thing. So let's begin chapter 13 today. Verse 1. Now on the same occasion, there were some present who reported to him, meaning Jesus, about the Galileans, can't say that word, huh? Galileans whose blood Pilate has mixed with their sacrifices. Some reported to Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pontius Pilate has mixed with their sacrifices. Meaning that Pilate has killed some Galileans when they were sacrificing. Our passage does not say why these people reported this to Jesus, but if we read the next verse, we could see what they were thinking as they reported this to Jesus. Verse 2, and Jesus said to them, do you suppose that these Galileans were greater sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered this fate? See, what they were thinking is this. This horrible thing happened to them because they were greater sinners than they. Of course, any sin deserves God's judgment. But the problem here is that those who reported the incident to Jesus think that the Galileans who were killed by Pontius Pilate had sinned more than they did. That is why they believe that this horrible thing happened to them as God's judgment. And by saying that, they imply that they were better than those Galileans who were killed. You see, this is the understanding of this world. But remember what is happening. Jesus Christ came. The kingdom of God has come. Thus, all the worldly things are passing away. Even the worldly understandings are passing away. So Jesus asked them question, do you suppose that these Galileans were greater sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered this fate? Jesus says, no. Luke chapter 13, verse 3, I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. See, Jesus is not against the understanding that sins deserve judgment. Of course they do. Psalm 7, verse 11 and 12, God is a righteous judge and a God who is indignation every day. Who has indignation every day? If a man does not repent, he will sharpen his sword. He has bent his bow and made it ready. What Jesus is against is thinking that just because someone is not going through a horrible thing in this life, that does not prove that he is much a less sinner than those who are. That he is better than the one who is facing the trial. Even today, many Christians think that way. We hear this often when there are great disasters in some countries. People imply that those countries are with very few Christians. They committed more sins than us. And they speak without knowledge. They even acknowledge one another. As if they're speaking the truth. But the Bible is very clear. Those disasters happening to them are not the result of them being more sinful than the others. Actually, the Bible says, Romans 3 verse 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, not even one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks for God. All have turned aside together. They have become useless. There is none who does good. There is not even one. Bible is very clear. Everyone deserves the judgment of God. No exceptions. Romans chapter 3 verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. When we see the disasters happening to the others, we must realize that we are the sinners who deserve the worst. And when you see that happening, we must repent of our own sins. But the sinners think that they are better than those who are facing that disasters. Revelation chapter 9, verse 20 and 21. The rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands, so as not to worship demons and the idols of gold and of silver and of brass and of stone and of wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. And they did not repent of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their immorality, nor of their thefts. If we are not facing the disasters, then it is not because we are any better, but God is giving us an opportunity to repent of our sins. But just like in our passage, the sinners think that they are always better than those whom the disasters come, especially those in the church who act that they are holier than the other people. I mean, think, ask yourself. You're sitting there thinking you are better than the people outside, especially those filthy sinners out there. You think you're better. Am I true or not? You probably tell yourself, at least I don't do that. If you don't do that, that's God's grace. If He just lets you go and withhold His grace, there's nothing you would not do. But we think we're better. Because you come to church, because you do this or you do that. See, you even judge all these things by your works. Even though you say, no, it's not about works, it's grace. You say with that, but you do think in terms of works. See, we must not understand anything in terms of this world. We are reminded of the story of Job. Do you remember Job? Worldly, you know, you're speaking in terms of world, Job actually did not do anything wrong. But great sufferings came in his way. He lost all things, even his children. And when his friends came to him, they said in Job 22, verse 4 and 5, is it because of your reverence that God reproves you, that He enters into judgment against you? Is it not your wickedness great and your iniquities without end? Job's friend thinks just like the world. They are saying that Job's suffering, it came because of his sins. And by saying that, they are also implying that they are better than Job because they are not suffering like Job. Thus, the world thinks that the success in this world is God's blessing. Oh, everything is God's blessing. But success in this world is not Christian blessing. Because many non-Christians out there, they're more successful than Christians. So just because you're successful out there in the world, it doesn't mean that God is blessing you more. Because you are so faithful to God, then why does God bless some of those non-Christians with more than Christians. It's a common grace. It doesn't matter whether you're Christian or not. God will bless you with the worldly things. But if you start thinking like that, then you will think the same way in the opposite situation. When people are suffering, you think that there's more, they have committed more sins than us. They could only think in terms of this world, these friends of Job. They do not have the truth of God. Of course, we find the story of Job in the Old Testament. Thus, they were partially correct, as you know. But even in the Old Testament, God has told us that when the Messiah comes, He will bring the new principle. The world will be upside down. The old will pass away. Later in Job, we see God scolding Job's friends. Job 38, verse 2. Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? That's exactly what it is, words without knowledge. And there are so many of these people today. John chapter 9, verse 1 through 3. As he passed by, meaning Jesus, as he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he would be born blind? Jesus answered, it was neither that this man sinned nor his parents, but it was so that his work, the works of God, might be displayed in him. These disciples, thinking just like the world, as they see a blind man, they ask, who sinned? This man or his parents, that he will be born blind? Whose sin caused it? His or his parents? But Jesus says, neither. It was so that the works of God might be displayed in him. The understanding of this world is either he sinned or his parents sinned. That is why he is judged by God. That is why he is blind. Again, words without knowledge. See, this kind of thinking is by people who are ignorant, not knowing God. So if you think the opposite, you're doing the same. If you see a Christian so successful in this world and you think that God blessed him, and if you see people who are suffering and you think that God is judging them, then you're just thinking the same way. Again, words without knowledge. Acts chapter 28, verse 3 to 4. But when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened itself on his hand. When the natives saw the creature hanging from his hand, they began saying to one another, undoubtedly, this man is a murderer, and though he has been saved from the sea, justice has not allowed him to live. See, just because now Paul is bitten by a snake, the natives, just like the world, says, this person is not a good person. God is judging him. Words without knowledge. Now Jesus gives another example in Luke chapter 13 verse 4 and 5. Or do you suppose that those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them were worse culprits than all the men who live in Jerusalem? I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. The tower fell and killed 18 people. And many people think that happened to them because they have sinned more than they. Again, Jesus says, no, that is not why. Verse 5, I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will likewise perish. What is Jesus saying? He is emphasizing, he repeats the necessity of repentance in verses 3 and 5. We all deserve to die forever for our sins. Jesus says, you will all likewise perish. Did you catch that word, all? Meaning that no one is left out. And you will all likewise. Meaning it will happen when they were not expected. Luke chapter 17 verse 27 through 30. They were eating, they were drinking, and they were marrying, they were being given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. It was the same as happened in the day of the Lord. They were eating, they were drinking, they were buying, they were selling, and they were planting, they were building. But on the day that Lot went out from Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. It will be just the same on the day that the Son of Man is revealed. Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. This word perish. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. So perishing is the opposite of the eternal life. Thus, perishing is the eternal punishment of hell. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 17 through 18. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. As you could see from that verse, the perishing happens after death. Thus, again, it refers to eternal punishment of hell. So God is saying, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. The end has come, and we must settle quickly. Oh, brothers and sisters, I cannot emphasize this more strongly. We must repent of our sins. We are all sinners. And as such, we all deserve the eternal punishment of hell. In our passage, some of them thought that they were better than those Galileans who were killed by the Pontius Pilate. But brothers and sisters, let me tell you, there was a way bigger, a way greater incident. Like the incident in our passage, that incident is also about a Galilean being suffered by the Pontius Pilate. We recite about it when we recite the Apostles' Creed. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. As you see him dying on the cross, your Lord dying on the cross, what is your response? Is he dying? Is he suffering because he sinned greater than you? Isaiah 53 verse 12b, because he poured out himself to death and was numbered with the transgressors, yet he himself bore the sin of many and interceded for the transgressors. See, you and I, we did not die on the cross. You and I, we were not abandoned by our Father in heaven on the cross. Thus, are we better than Jesus Christ? If someone asks you, how would you answer? Our Lord Jesus Christ, he is died. He died on the cross. And someone comes to you and said, who sinned? This man or who? Who sinned that he is dying? Would you join me in answering that it is because of my sins? Our Lord Jesus Christ is sinless. Even Job, thinking in the way as his friends complained to God, why he is going through the suffering when he did not do anything wrong. But even Job is a sinner who deserved the eternal judgment of hell. But see, Jesus, who is truly sinless, but he is bearing our sins on that cross. He's dying, and yet he never complained. We must repent of our sins, brothers and sisters, and we must repent always. But we must also remember that our repentance is not the perfect repentance. Thus, without Jesus, our repentance is also sin. But the good news, if we read Luke chapter 24, verse 47, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins will be proclaimed in His name to all the nations beginning from Jerusalem. Did you catch that? Repentance in that verse is repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And if we read Mark chapter 1 verse 4, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. John the Baptist, his baptism was a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And when you read that gospel, you see Jesus Christ received that baptism. And again, what kind of baptism was it? The baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. He receives it. But he's sinless. Why does he need to get baptized? By a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Well, he's doing it in your place. Just like asking, why is he dying on the cross? Well, he's dying instead of you. So what we see is Jesus repenting for our sins in our places. And this is not surprising because when you read the Old Testament, we see the priests, the leaders of Israelites, they repented. They repented for the sins of the people. It wasn't just repenting for their own sins, but these people repented for the sins of Israelites. Just like it, Jesus is doing that. And his repentance, as you know, is perfect. So we are participating in his perfect repentance. God receives our repentance in Jesus Christ. That's why our repentance is received by God. Without Christ, like I said, our repentance is sin. Because it's never perfect. And God cannot receive anything that is not perfect. Only in Jesus Christ. Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. But brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, you have repented of your sins in Jesus Christ. And you are always repenting of your sins in your life. In Jesus Christ, as you repent of your sins, you have been completely saved out of perishing. That word perishing has nothing to do with you anymore. Because Jesus was perished. Even though he was sinless, because he was carrying our sins, and because he had to die for that sin, he was not even allowed to repent. And yet, you are now allowed to repent. So that perishing has nothing to do with it anymore. I mean, think about all the sins that we commit. Even those things that you feel it's not sin, you are sinning. Because everything that we do, and if it's not perfect, that is also sin. Even this worship, you think that this is most holy act as a Christian. But without Christ, this worship is sin. Because you're not worshiping God perfectly. I know it. God does not deserve this kind of worship, the worship that you and I give. And yet, we do it in Christ. This is why God receives it. We are God's people who repent of our sins. And in Jesus Christ, our repentance of our sins is not in vain. And in Christ, you and I will never perish. And now in Christ, even the sufferings in this world are no longer God's judgment. But it is a participation in the sufferings of Christ, which is our honor. Understand the truth so that we may not think like the world. Everything works together for our own good. Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, I don't care what you are facing out there. Nothing that is bad could happen to you in Christ. Nothing. Because all will work together for your own good. Believe it. Trust Him. So it's not because of your sins that you might suffer out there. No, Jesus did that for you. But that even that suffering is a now participation in the sufferings of Christ. God loves you. And don't feel that you're being forsaken or God is punishing you. Oh yes, He will discipline you, yeah. But don't judge God's love by what happens in this world, thinking in terms of this world. Especially when you're judging other people. I am as great sinner as you are. We all deserve to go to hell. No one is any better than anybody. And if you live a better life, then that's God's grace. Because if He withdraws His grace, what kind of life do you think that you're going to live? Let me end. Our salvation that we received in Christ is a so precious salvation that even sufferings that we go through is no longer judgment of God. That's why we welcome suffering. Paul even says, I want to know more. The sharing, the sufferings of Christ, what that is. That's His desire. Because our focus is to be like Christ. Even in suffering, you want to be like Christ. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 16, but if anyone suffers as a Christian, he is not to be ashamed, but is to glorify God in this name. Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank You for the salvation that You have accomplished for us in Jesus Christ. That everything that we do, You are pleased with all of that because we do all that by faith in Jesus Christ. You receive them in Christ. And Father, we thank You that even our sufferings is a sign that You love us, that You are giving us an opportunity to be like Christ, imitate Christ. So let us rejoice, no matter what happens in our lives. Because our purpose is to witness Christ. To live is Christ. We thank You. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.